This is Your Calls Media Roundtable. I'm Rose Aguilar. Now we are going to discuss the plight of Mohammed Ibrahim, a 16-year-old Palestinian American from Florida who's been held in an Israeli military prison without trial for more than 8 months. He's one of more than 300 children who are in Israeli prisons, many of them without charge or trial. In The Guardian, our next guest, Joseph Gedeon, writes that in a recent interview with Defense for Children International Palestine, Mohammed Ibrahim described receiving, quote, extremely insufficient meals, with breakfast consisting of just 3 tiny pieces of bread and lunch amounting to half a small cup of undercooked rice, a single sausage, and 3 pieces of bread. Dinner is not provided. Mohammed Ibrahim has been denied all contact with the outside world, except for visits from U.S. embassy officials, while his court hearings have been routinely postponed. Joseph Gedeon is a politics breaking news reporter with The Guardian. Hi, Joseph. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. You report that Mohammed Ibrahim was arrested on his family's West Bank home in February, and that's when he was 15. Israeli forces allegedly blindfolded and handcuffed him at 3 a.m., according to a letter led by Senators Chris Van Hollen and Jeff Merkley and Representatives Kathy Castor and Maxwell Frost, all Democrats. More than 2 Democratic lawmakers have written to Secretary of State Marco Rubio and the U.S. ambassador to Israel, urging them to help secure his release. Can you tell us more about Mohammed Ibrahim and why he was detained?
Of course. So I first discovered that Mohammed Ibrahim, who is a resident of Florida as well, dual citizen, I first found out about his case in July while reporting on the killing of his cousin. His name is Saifullah Musaleh. He's a 20-year-old allegedly beaten to death by Israeli settlers in the West Bank. And while doing interviews with his family, the relatives, I discovered this case about Mohammed Ibrahim, who back then had been held since February. Back when he was 15, he had turned 16 during his detention. He's being accused of throwing rocks with friends at at Israeli citizens in the West Bank. And he's been languishing in detention since then. He's believed to have lost over 25 pounds since his detention began over 8 months ago, as you mentioned, February. He also contracted scabies, which is an infectious skin disease, and it doesn't seem like it's his case is getting any nearer to the end. His trial has been postponed numerous times. He has his next trial this Sunday, November 9th, and they've been reaching out to American lawmakers trying to get more support. It has been quiet, but things have been building up over the last couple months.
You report that the Democratic lawmakers note that no evidence has been publicly provided to support the allegation about the throwing of the rocks. You also report that Mohammed Ibrahim is being held at Megiddo. It's a notorious prison in Israel. A few months ago, the Israeli paper Haaretz investigated the conditions there and reported there are many cases like Mohammed Ibrahim's. Some prisoners are not even surviving. There have been a number of testimonies by former prisoners and doctors and human rights groups in Israel, like B'Tselem. They've all reported of systemic torture, increased beatings, the deprivation of food and warmth after October 7th. Why is this not getting more attention in the U.S. media?
Yeah, it's shocking to me. It's shocking to me, too, honestly. But he has been moved in August to Ofer prison, which is another notoriously torturous prison in the West Bank. But it has shocked me, that there hasn't been more coverage, When I first reported this in July, I was the first person the first reporter to cover the story, and I figured that I had to get all the details right because all the media is going to start coming out to report on how we have an American teenager who's a verified American teenager is being held and lost weight, getting sick in a foreign country, over allegations that haven't been substantiated in court yet. So it's really, it's really shocking to me. And the story is open for everyone to cover it. It has been getting some stories here and there. I guess what a lot of reporters are waiting for here, they could go out on their own, but a lot of the media is waiting, I guess, on they're waiting for lawmakers to maybe step up here and start speaking out more, but the situation is right now we have an American teenager who's being who got sick, very, very sick, lost a lot of weight, all because of allegations, So that's a situation we're dealing with right now.
We do want to turn to a piece on NPR, and this is very disturbing, just to let listeners know. Now, this piece did not mention Mohammed Ibrahim, but Dr. Mihir Chaudhry, an American trauma surgeon, treated Palestinian detainees recently released by Israel. He was on NPR last week discussing details about violence, starvation, and torture. This is Dr. Chaudhry.
Every age, men, women, elderly, children were being attacked in very grotesque ways. I saw many, many children who were shot through the head, shot through the abdomen, the chest. It was very clear to me what was being done by the Israeli military in Gaza.
Now, you examined patients on your last day who had been held by Israel and were returned to Gaza as part of this ceasefire deal. What did you see when you examined them?
Every single Palestinian captive that I saw around 40 of them total, every single one had signs of very advanced malnutrition, even more advanced malnutrition than some of the patients I'd been seeing in Gaza, actually. Completely wasted away. There's very little muscle mass left, very little strength, even in being able to walk over to the examining table. Each one had scabies infection, which is like a skin infection that occurs in very overcrowded jail and prison environments. They reported to me that they were forced to drink toilet water. They were given kind of the minimum amount of food to survive, maybe around one meal a day. And as it got closer to their release, they reported increasing levels of physical attacks and abuse.
Did you see signs of that on their bodies?
I did actually, yeah. And examining them, I felt like rib cages that were chronically deformed from fractures. I saw one young Palestinian whose right arm was completely deformed from an attack and an intentional breaking of his arm. I saw areas where patients had had prior surgeries or wounds that they reported were intentionally targeted for attack to maximize kind of suffering and pain.
They're saying the prison guards were doing this to them?
The prison guards were doing this, yes. Two patients had fresh wounds that they told me were from gunshots that were done to them by the Israeli guards that were not treated, that were kind of in a state of chronic infection from poor treatment.
Dr. Mihir Chaudhry, an American trauma surgeon, was on NPR last week. He also said a common story was that Palestinian detainees' wrists were bound and they were forced to stand naked in groups for long periods of time. We're talking with Joseph Gedeon, a politics breaking news reporter for The Guardian, about Mohammed Ibrahim, a 16-year-old Palestinian American from Florida who's been held in an Israeli military prison without trial for more than 8 months. Joseph, the group of 27 Democrats who've asked the administration to help release Mohammed point to the death of Walid Ahmed. This happened in March. He was a 17-year-old Palestinian who collapsed and died in the same prison after 6 months of detention for allegedly throwing rocks. His autopsy showed he died from extreme malnutrition, torture, scabies, and denial of medical care, lawmakers warn that it's the responsibility of the U.S. government to ensure that this recent tragedy does not repeat itself with Mohammed. So has Rubio or the Trump administration said anything about Mohammed Ibrahim?
You know, that's been the ongoing story. We've been pressing the State Department over the months on Mohammed Ibrahim's case. What we've noticed is in the beginning, we weren't really getting anything, you know, but as soon as we just kept pressing and pressing and doing more coverage on it, we learned that back in September, late September, the State Department appointed a dedicated official to handle Mohammed Ibrahim's case. We know that there wasn't much visitation happening either, because according to State Department documents that we obtained, because of Mohammed's sickness, they were keeping him away from people. So we know that things are starting to ramp up. The State Department has an official on his case, but what, you know, right now we still don't know what that means. His case has been postponed time and time again. He had his trial earlier this month, late October, moved to early November now, and that's where things stand. So, you know, if we right now we know that there is a State Department official, but how much pressure they're putting on the on a foreign government is still unclear.
The Council on American Islamic Relations and its Florida chapter are launching a national week of action to demand the immediate release of Mohammed Ibrahim. Tomorrow, there will be vigils, rallies, online campaigns, phone banking, and letter writing initiatives organized across the country. What are you planning to do to continue reporting on this? And given that the trials are not happening, how are you getting your questions answered?
Yeah, you're touching on very important questions here. One thing that we are pushing on is how new information, but we know that the Israeli embassy has been flooding the Senate this past week with a letter that we've also obtained, pushing their case against the teenager, Mohammed Ibrahim. So we're still digging into that. We still have to see where things stand. The goal here is to get a fair trial for this kid. All of this is right now based off allegations where because of simple allegations, he's lost over 25 pounds. He's contracted scabies, which you mentioned with the Waleed that led to his death, you know, and this is just a teenager, an American teenager. So that's where it starts. We have to just keep finding new ways to ask the tough questions, you know, and, you know, I guess it's our job to just keep talking about it.
A record number of Palestinian children are held in administrative detention without charge or trial. 360 Palestinian children are detained in Israeli prisons as of June 30th, the latest data available from the Israel Prison Service. Defense for Children International Palestine says this is the highest number on record since they began monitoring these numbers in 2008. Your final thoughts on this, Joseph? We have about 30 seconds left, especially about the kids that are being held without charge or trial.
Right. You know, what we know is Palestinian children in general, since March 2025, over 300 of them, you know, between the ages of 12 and 17, have been held in Israeli military detention. We also know that from a past report, there's been over 800 minors within that same age range that have been held on stone throwing charges, and only one minor was acquitted. So it could be that Mohammed Ibrahim faces years if there's no U.S. intervention.
Well, we'll continue to follow this story. Joseph Gedeon is politics breaking news reporter with The Guardian. Thank you so much for your reporting, and thank you for joining us, Joseph.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. We also wanted you to let you know about a new exclusive report from Reuters that came out this morning. U.S. intel found Israeli military lawyers warned there was evidence of Gaza war crimes, according to former U.S. officials. Reuters reports State Department lawyers raised concerns about Israel's military conduct. Biden administration officials debated U.S. complicity if Israel faced war crime charges. The U.S. maintained support despite internal war crimes concerns. Trump showed little interest in Israeli war crimes allegations, according to former officials. This is according to Reuters.